Are we ready to go? Hey, are we live? Praise the name of the Lord. I want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Woo. Now, I know that because we're in a big build project, everybody thinks I have this construction hat on because we are going to talk about the physical building of the church. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We are in a series where we're talking about the temple of God. And do you know that the temple of God is not just a building? The temple is actually you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, his biggest thing that he wants to do is have the right to live right inside of you. And so we're doing a series called Renewing and Not Spewing. And so tonight we're going to be talking about what the Lord expects out of us as his people. But right now, we are going to celebrate him because he says that where two or three are gathered in his name. And I know it's close to Turkey Day and it's close to Thanksgiving time, but I want to thank all of you who have come out and all of you who are live streaming today, because here's what I want you to know. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. And if you don't first speak life over yourself, you cannot speak life over anybody else. In fact, you'll find yourself not. So we're going to just worship God. We're going to let him refresh us. We're going to let him restore us. And then we are going to talk construction tonight. But we're not talking about the construction of some physical place. We're going to talk about how the Word of God must start the construction inside of you to help you become exactly who God wants you to be. Amen. So let's just worship the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Whoa, praise God.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight.
My soul. Every good season, through every bad season, through every trying season, through every season of my life, you are the well that won't run dry. Today it seems like worship was lined up when you hear the other songs to help you fight whatever season that you're in. So I'm just going to give you a foretaste of what's coming. Stand up with this stuff and fight. Fight today. Fight for through your season you're in. Listen, I promise you that I don't know a person. I don't know one person that's not going through a season right now. Something's in the heavenlies getting ready to bust open. Something's getting ready to come our way. We're getting ready to have an outpouring of the Lord like never before. And somebody doesn't want the outpouring coming to us. And the determination whether that outpouring comes to us or not is how we handle our season. Amen. And we're going to choose to fight our battle. We're going to choose to lift up the Lord. And we're going to choose to look to Him through everything. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He delivers us from every single one of them. Amen.
Because this is how I fight my battles. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. fight my battles. This is how I 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 fight my battles. Come on, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Choose tonight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar.
Your voice unless you allow him.
Amen.
To.
Amen.
He raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery.
Come on.
Because we know that God we serve, and it's not really a mystery, because he says the victory is ours.
Amen. Amen.
I raise a
Is next week Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, no wonder I have a download from heaven tonight.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Is anybody off tomorrow? Is anybody scheduled off tomorrow? Because you might need to be scheduled off tomorrow, because I feel something happening well up into midnight and beyond. Hallelujah. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is where Paul the Apostle preached till midnight. Someone fell out of the tree, either sleep drunk or something, but they fell to the ground and snapped their neck. And Paul went over, raised them from the dead, and preached to the early morning night. Now, I'm not believing for any of you to fall out of your chairs and hit the floor and snap your neck. But I will tell you that there may be a day coming up soon where I preach all up into the middle of the night. Amen?
Amen.
One time several years ago, it was on a Thursday night, I was praying for people. And I thought time was just flying by. And I mean, we pray for everybody in the house. And all of a sudden, there was 12 people left that just refused to get prayed for. They just wanted to wait till everybody else got prayed for. So finally, I said, the Lord's telling me that there's about 12 of you left, and I'm going to pray for you all at once. And I brought them right up here and prayed for them all at once. And I said, woo, guys, I said, this has been great. I'm glad I'm going to do you 12. We're going to get out of here early. And everybody was laughing underneath their breath, because guess what? It was about 5 till midnight.
Okay, I want to know who came in here with a burden on them.
Amen.
No, seriously. I got hand up, not because I want you. I'm going to demonstrate, and I came in here with a burden.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, and as we worshiped, and as we praised, and as we lifted up our voices, and as we reminded ourselves, this is how we fight our battle. Amen. That no matter what the circumstances looks like, we're going to lift him up, and we're going to exalt him. Something started lifting off of me.
Amen.
And I'm believing that God is lifting it off of you.
Amen.
Is that not what we prayed before service today?
Amen.
And we prayed that all of this heaviness, that all these battles, all the seasons that we're going through, that God would grace us, that God would lift it off of us, that we would run through this thing, we would be victorious in everything, and that you would feel the release tonight of this thing that's been hovering on you. But I'm telling you that it hovers and it waits to come back. What do you do at home when you go home? I raise a hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't let this thing come back on you. As soon as this thing tries to start working with the thoughts in your mind, you start raising your voice up and say, no, not today. I raise a hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
In the middle of the mystery.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. Let's keep lifting him up. Let's quit allowing the enemy to have a foothold in our life.
Amen. Amen.
No more.
Amen.
No more.
Amen.
As a warrior, don't you get tired.
No, don't get tired. Don't get
tired.
Tired.
Don't get weary in well-doing. That's what the word
because
says.
Because worship and praise is one of your greatest weapons as you release your faith. Listen, I tell you what, sometimes once we release our faith, we've got to understand that that faith is going to be attacked. If you think you're ever going to release your faith and it's just going to be a Katie, bar the door, I'm just going to coast down the river and get everything. You're not going to find that in Scripture. You're going to find that the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent must take it by force. You're going to find that the kingdom of God suffers and every man and woman that gets it must press right up into it. Listen to me. Your life is about resistance. You're going to have to resist the enemy and you're going to have to resist fear. And you're going to have to resist the world and distraction that will try to cause you to see askew and think differently and let go of what God has for you. And one of the biggest battlegrounds is this mind, and it's the fear that will try to get you to think that you are never going to possess what God has said to you. Because that's what the devil does more than anything, is he whips us before we get saved. And then once we're saved, we forget that we ain't whipped no more.
Amen.
We still want to be weak after we've been made strong. It's not possible. It's time for you to get it. If you've been saved, you are now the strongest vessel in the earth. Guess what? Authority is no longer the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the devil. The authority is the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you.
Amen.
Come on now. I'm telling you. Once you step out of the world of the wicked, it is time for you to quit mully grubbing around, quit thinking that you're weak and start understanding that you have been made strong. Listen, even as a newborn babe, understand this. You are, as you said, honey, more than a conqueror. You want a tag team preach tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I keep hearing the song go in my head that you're the well that won't run dry in every season
you're the
of my
well
life. Only you can satisfy. Listen, that's the word of God. Do you understand that when he sings that, he's singing the word of God to you?
Amen.
Because the Lord says that he never sleeps nor slumbers.
Amen.
There's nothing that you can go through that he hasn't already made a way. It says he goes before you. He covers your rear side. He's your rear guard. If armor puts on everything, what he's singing is the word of God to you.
Amen.
He's not just singing words to sing words.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, these words are to empower you because it is the word of God.
Amen.
Listen, our victory lies within the word
of
God. Whether we read it, whether we sing it, whether we... And some of you need to start proclaiming it over your life and not just reading it as words on a page of a Bible.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This is
some,
life to you.
Babe.
All of you.
Some
of them already do, babe.
But don't matter. If you're already doing it, you need to do more of it.
Amen.
Listen, I'm telling you, if you've already doing it and you're already being successful... It ain't no time to stop now. Listen, the sower is going to sow the seed and sow the word, and you are sowing today what you're going to step into in your future.
We can never be comfortable.
Amen. That's right. That's right. We can never, ever be comfortable. We have got to be warriors. The Bible says that soldiers, we endure hardness like good soldiers. Amen. And I tell you what, the soldiers in America, going back in our history, we were called Minutemen years ago. It meant that we did our work on the farm. We did our horse work. We did our cow work. We were out there plowing the field. But in a moment of time, we would pick up our musket. We would pick up our firepower. And we could head into any battle and whip the devil. And I'll tell you what, that all you got to do is read the book of Nehemiah. And you'll figure out that the Lord says to us that we should have a hammer in one hand building and a sword in the other. Let me tell you something. The best defense you got against the devil is an offense. Because here's what we're going to keep telling you. In order for you to lose, all you have to do is be silent. Listen to me. You're not going forward if you're not speaking. You're not going forward if you're not praying. All the devil has to do is beat you up enough to shut you up. All he's got to do is quiet your voice and get you so focused on your fear and your circumstances that you are paralyzed in the pew, so to speak. And that pew just ain't here at church. You can be paralyzed on the bench. You can be paralyzed on your couch. You can be paralyzed in your home. But all the devil has got to do is get you to not renew and not speak. And he's already got you spewing. No voice. All that good has to do for evil to reign is just be silent.
And
go ahead. What kicked prayer out of school? Church was silent. What raised the divorce rate? Church was silent. What kicked in suicide? Church was silent. What led to drugs and everything else ruling our society today? Church is silent. We got to the point where we thought me and us two and no more was going to be enough to get to heaven. And I tell you what, we have got to start accepting our responsibility.
And what allows the enemy of yesterday, the thoughts, the mistakes of yesterday to reign in your life, you stay silent.
Mm-hmm.
You stay silent.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are still living in something that happened 15, 20 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you 10, some of you 5, some of you 3 days ago. Who cares? Who cares what happened? Is it that important that you're going to allow it to keep you for the rest of your life? That you're going to allow it to keep you away from your destiny that God has birthed you for the rest of your life? Listen, these things are generational too.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you allow, what do you think is going to happen to your children? What you allow goes down on them because they're watching. They're watching everything we do.
And let's talk about that for a minute. Generationally, things grow. Generationally, things are empowered. So here's what you got to understand. The next generation is either going to be stronger because you laid a stronger foundation, or the next generation is going to be weaker, more rebellious, and farther from God because you laid nothing. What you need to do is make sure that before you leave this earth, you better have laid down a legacy of your best faith if you're going to leave something for your next generations to reach for. Do you know that there's a man by the name of Abraham? It says that Levi paid tithes when he was yet in Abraham's bosoms. Do you know that Levi was not even a direct son of Abraham? He was a descendant down his bloodline. Do you know that when God came, hey, boy, we're looking good there. You know, when God came to take, when God came down to touch the earth, do you know that the Bible says in the book of Exodus that the Lord did not initially come down because the people were oppressed in the wilderness or oppressed in Egypt? Did you know that? Said that the Lord says at the end of the, you can read Exodus 2 and 3, you'll see that the Lord says, because of your forefathers, I have come down, and now I can hear their prayer. See, one of the worst things you can do as a parent is ever give up your faith. As a grandparent, one of the worst things you can ever do is give up your faith, because even if your child is unsaved when you go to the grave, out of your testimony, there is enough in God to reach towards your generation, even if you ain't still here. I got to tell you something. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but guess what? What he did on the cross is still reaching every generation, even though he's already up in heaven.
Oh.
I'm telling you, there's a heritage in me because of my mother who's already up in heaven.
Amen.
I'm telling you that every one of you have to make this decision that before you go to the grave, you are going to pay obeisance to God and obedience to God in such a way, dear, that we're going to leave something for you to live out of. Amen? Amen? That's what we all need to be able to do.
I was trying to look at the scripture, but I can't see.
You better let the children go.
The children could go to children's.
Because we're wild and on fire. This is just how
I'm trying to look up a scripture, but I can't read it.
Logan, this is your fault.
My glasses on. But I'm looking at the, I'm thinking about.
You're growing.
I'm thinking about the scripture where we think that our life should be easy. We think that everything, because we're Christians and because we serve the Lord, that our life is going to be easy. Do we not look at Jesus' life? Nothing was easy for Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing was easy for Jesus. He stayed before his Father constantly, and he did what only the Father did, and yet the devil still took him up to the mountains.
Amen.
And tested him. And yet he still kneeled at Gethsemane and bled and sweated blood at the choice that he had in front of him, whether he was going to go to the cross or whether he was not going to go to the cross. And he asked, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. Meaning, God, Father, I'll do what you want me to do, but if there's another way, let's get this out right now. Let's bring this other way to pass, because what you're asking me to do is huge. And I'm willing to do it because you're my Father and because I want to please you and do everything that you say. But if there is a different way, this way is a heavy price. And how do we know that? Because he sweated blood. Have you ever sweated blood? I've been in some difficult situations and I have never sweated blood once. Listen, I can't even imagine the pressure that was on Jesus at that moment. But as soon as he did, as soon as he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Listen,
Amen.
Quit thinking that Lord. Because you're having a trial, because you're going through a season that is tough, that has got you just fighting every single second of the day to keep your mind straight, keep your mind right, that there's something wrong with you and you've done something, that you've sinned. Yes, it's always good to check your heart with the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. We're
Amen.
Always to get before Amen. Him and say, Lord, is there anything in me? Show me, let me clean it up. Let me clean it up. But you're in a battle. You're a soldier. Things are coming against you because there's many things for you to do.
Amen.
And if he can come against you and not get you to go fight, then your family's lost. Your generations after that are lost. Maybe the people that are your neighbors or the people that you work with are not coming into the kingdom because you sat down. That's why he's after you.
Amen.
Listen, it is for you, but it's for everybody around you. And quit thinking you've done something wrong and you're having to pay
Amen.
For what you've done wrong. Jesus does not,
Amen.
The Lord our Father does not bring
Amen. Amen.
Evil upon us
no.
ever.
No. Listen, we're gonna. It's funny because I'm going to start with what their scripture base is for tonight. No, are you staying up here with me? Are you going to come back up if you have something in your spirit? All right, take the mic and keep it live, because if you have something, you can bring it. Now, here's what I'm telling you. Grab a hold of that word. Grab a hold of that word, because I want you to understand that every one of you are priceless. Every one of you are precious in the sight of the Lord. And every one of you are meant to bring people to the kingdom. Listen, I want you to know something, that there is preachers of the gospel that may never step into this pulpit, but you are going to be preaching the gospel at work. Some of you aren't even going to know why some people are upset with you. It's going to be because they see Christ in you. And I'm just telling you that the Bible says this, so you got to be able to handle this. That the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 10, 28 through 30 and down through 31, it says that in this life, God will give you 100-fold and persecutions. We don't often like that side, but I'm telling you that if you're going to be received by the kingdom of God, and you are, every one of you, when you got saved, whether you know it or not, you had your first experience of the Lord saying, "That's my child in whom I'm well pleased." See, we don't recognize this, but the Bible says of God that when someone gets saved, they rejoice in heaven. And how many times can God rejoice? As many as people can get saved in a day, God can rejoice, because in heaven there is no time. A day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. That's why I love to tell some people sometimes, you are the man or the woman for this hour. When I say that, I ain't talking about the hour we're living. I ain't talking about 60 minutes. I'm talking about the expanse of your lifetime, which should be 120 years if you want all that God has given you. Because in the book of Genesis chapter 6, you're granted to have that. But I really want to get to some things tonight, because we started talking about renewing and not spewing. And we really started talking about this. The power of death and life is right here. Now, what we need to understand, and I got you to hear me, Christians, especially you as a Christian, once you are saved, the Bible says that you are no longer speaking on your own. The Bible says that if we would receive it, when we speak, the Holy Ghost is speaking. And that means that when we speak, the power to create and the power to kill is all up in your yappy. See, here's what the devil tries to do. He tries to devalue you so much that by the time you get saved, he tries to guilt you into your past. He tries to guilt you into your yesterday. He tries to keep reminding you of what's behind you. Because if he can get you to do this, he can just destroy you. Because you're constantly running into this stuff. And I'm telling you right now that the Lord has no anticipation of you looking back. You know, if you're going to look back, do it as an Olympic swimmer when you're doing the backstroke. But you know, my favorite spin is swimming, is when they turn and start doing all this. It's also my favorite swimming when I'm watching it and not trying it. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. But anyhow, because I was about to say, I do not look like an Olympic swimmer unless I could get points for just standing in one place, 3 foot deep. If they made a bit over 3 foot row, I'm telling you, I can flat throw it down. But here's what I want you guys to focus on. Focus on this. Tonight, you've got to receive the fact that you're in unity with your Father. And you've got to understand that everything you do and everything you speak, he gets to see. Oh, that'll make you think, won't it? Hallelujah. You mean yesterday when I almost mooned the person? Yeah, he saw that. You mean yesterday when I was so mad, in my mind I was thinking some superlatives about my boss? Yeah, he heard all that. Yeah. See, that's why the Bible says that we need to bring even our thoughts under captivity. But that's next time. That's next time. But I got to throw some things on you because I want you to hear me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a scripture that we started in last week. And I really want this because this is a foundational thing for you. We left this with you, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I was wanting you to go read this. And if you read it, you'll hear it even a little more because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus." Now, first of all, when it says brethren, it means Christians. So this scripture is written to you saved people. And Shannon, I didn't forget you. We're going to do that at the end of service because Shannon has a desire to just be filled again with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. And we're proud of you, Miss Shannon. You're doing a lot with your life, and you just keep it up. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. Now, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, first of all, I want you to know something, Christians. If the Lord gives a mandate to you, how you should walk and how you please the Lord, understand this, God would not give you a command or a mandate without infusing you with the ability to accomplish it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. This is the mystery that overcomes the world, even my faith. Listen, it's a lie if we as Christians sit here and think that we're not going to be enough until we die and go to heaven. Listen, you got something in you right now in this world through the blood of Jesus that's stronger than you will ever be, and you need to grab a hold of it. Remember, I already set this out, that we live in, you know, the Bible speaks of the heavenlies, and we know that there's a first heaven, amen? That's where we live on this earth. Then we know there's a second heaven. That's where the prince and the power and the principality of Satan keeps his authority. It's the unseen atmosphere that we cannot see unless we reach towards the third heaven through salvation and become properly positioned in the authority of God. It should be Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you. Not Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and devil, and I'm the pathetic aftermath. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are godly creation. You are fearfully, wonderfully made, and you are made in the image of God. And it does not say that you have to wait till 10,000 years of being up in heaven till you start functioning in that thing. No, in fact, the Bible gives us a requirement that as new creatures, we function now in those things. I'm telling you that the Lord did not intend for you to get whipped in this life. And I want you to see what it says here. It says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Wait a minute. Does that say suggestions? Does that say if you want to or if you don't? That says on the days I feel good? Does that say when I'm feeling real spiritual and not carnal? No. It's giving you commands that says, that these are commands we've given you. In other words, this is instruction from Jesus that should be a part of your life, and you don't get to pick and choose. Hello? If you want to pick and choose, go to McDonald's and get your Big Mac plain. Go there and get extra pickles and a little extra sauce. Hallelujah. Go pray in the Holy Ghost and buy you a Whopper and get it any way you want to. But when it comes into the kingdom, you get it the way God serves it. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. One thing you should never have to worry about is if this scripture is relevant. Who ordained it? God. And I'm going to tell you something right now, that whether you like it or not, historians, theologians, all you brilliant men and women who are still trying to calculate and talk what you know about the Word of God, I want you to know something. If God had the opportunity to write this Bible again, guess what? He wouldn't change a thing. Because this is a gathering of scriptures whereby which in the book of John it says, what's been put together in this word is for you so that you could be saved. And that's not just the you that's here now. It's for those who are even afar off yet today. It's for the generations that was before us. It's for us now, and it's for the future. And remember that when heaven and earth do pass away, what's going to remain? The word of the Lord shall remain. Amen? Yes. And so we want you to understand something, that there are some things in this word that are going to even project into the future. He's the one that has the preeminence. And let me tell you something. When we go to heaven, he's still going to have preeminence. If he creates a new heaven and a new earth, he's still going to have preeminence. He's still going to be Jesus. He's still going to be the Father. And we're still going to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I get an amen tonight? Amen. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel and sanctification and honor. Do you mean that God wants me to be accountable for my attitude? Say amen. Do you mean that the Lord is telling me that by the power of the Holy Ghost, I do not have to get an attitude? Do you mean that by the power of the Holy Ghost, I do not have to get angry and throw stuff? Do you mean that I don't have to have the profanity fit? Do you mean that I don't have to have, you know, there's a preacher of the gospel that I knew one time, and he's long been up, passed away, and went to be with the Lord. But, buddy, you had to watch him, because I won't tell you what his pastoral name was, but he would tell people, on the job, I'm Bob. And Bob didn't necessarily have a Christian attitude on the job. And he wanted you to receive him one way in the pulpit, and then he wanted you to receive him as Bob on the job. Bob on the job could have any words in his mouth at any time he wanted to, and Bob on the job could lay down his religion. See, if you grow up in the right places, I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people that said, ooh, today at work, I had to lay my Jesus down.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Does that mean at work, when your coworker is not doing or acting or behaving in a way that's wrong towards you, that you get to respond in a nasty, negative way back to them? No, the Lord says, don't repay evil for evil.
Amen. Amen. Do not do that. And we need to repent of that when we've been doing that. The Bible says that what we do is pray for our enemies. And here's what else you got to understand. People are going to look to you as adversaries when really they're just being used by the devil to create havoc in your life. See, one of the biggest things you've got to do is you've got to start viewing people as potential, not viewing people as your enemy.
Amen. Think about it. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
You're a child of God. Yes. Every person in here,
amen,
every person you know,
yep,
was created by God.
Amen.
And he loves them.
That's right.
And how you treat them,
yep,
you're going to be held accountable for.
Yeah, because guess what?
Saved or unsaved.
Yep. Because guess what? We got to remember. But by the grace of God, there go I.
Oh.
See, here's what's happening to too many Christians. Once we get ourselves halfway decent in the Lord, we're quick to forget that just 5, 10, 15 years ago, we was throwing down hatred. 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, we were pert not superlatives. 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we were the one at work with the attitude and the words and everything else. And sometimes we do not like to have the patience it takes for somebody else to be blessed.
Come on, talk.
Hallelujah. Shalem, this belongs to you after church, remind me.
I think you need to really talk on that, right?
Yeah. Listen to this. I'm going to tell you something. And we're going to get into this, but I want you to know something. The Lord has given you the ability to possess your vessel, but you sure didn't possess it for a lot of years. And you sure didn't possess it when you first got saved. Let me tell you something. When we first get saved, we're like a newborn baby. And that baby's real cute till it gets you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's pooping and fluing and doing and it's still cute, but let me tell you something. It's also a lot of work, amen? And I'm telling you that as Christians, we cannot throw everybody out, kick everybody out, but get mad at everybody just because in their early years as Christians, they spew or they release something that's not of God.
Or they behave in a way that you don't think is God-like.
Yeah.
But because they're new, God's cleaning them up.
That's right.
God's cleaning them
differently
up.
Differently than he did you.
Differently. The Bible says that gold is tried in a fire.
Yep.
And when it's heated up, the impurities, the imperfections of that gold rise to the top and they're scraped off.
And God gets to pick which one of those impurities rise first, and God gets to pick what's dealt with first. Listen, you or me, it might have been cussing, fighting,
right.
Might have been alcohol. This person, it might be that God has to clean up drugs and everything else before he deals with promiscuity or married to get living together or any of those other things. And we all have got to have faith and patience to understand that somebody else's wall does not have to match up perfectly with what my talk was or what my walk was.
We have this pharisaical view.
Yep.
Why aren't your disciples washing their hands before every meal? Why aren't your disciples fasting? Why aren't you? That's the way we look at new babes and we say, well, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing? Because they don't know any better.
Exactly.
They're learning. It says that we change from glory to glory to glory. There's some things still that if somebody from 40 years that have been saved looks at my life and said, why is that still in her? Because I'm changing.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Amen.
To glory.
Amen.
And the Lord is the choosing the things that he scrapes off.
Amen. Amen.
And we have to allow and quit holding somebody at a bigger accountability than you will yourself.
You know what's amazing about that? Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap. You know what's amazing about that? And it's easy. The Bible says, why are you digging the speck out of your brother's eye?
That's exactly.
When you won't take the boulder out of your eye. The other thing is that when we're usually pointing at someone else, we got three of those fingers pointing right back at us. And we are usually easier to, you know what's really weird? Is it's easier for us to have faith towards others, but it's also easier for us to bring accusations against them.
Oh, come on. That's true.
I mean, it's one thing for us to have faith for other people, but you know what? We also tend to have criticism for other people a lot easier than we can have for ourselves. And I'm telling you that. Oh, you coming back up here?
Listen, I really want to make a point in what you're doing and what you're saying. Listen, this isn't God picking on us.
No.
This isn't God saying, this is what you've been doing wrong. I'm just going to pick and pick and pick and pick. No, this is God cleaning us up.
Yes.
This is God saying, I've got a remnant of people here that really are serving me. And they want to change. They want to do the things that I need them to do. That there is more in the kingdom to do than we've done. And he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this and I'm going to clean them up. I'm going to clean them up. Listen, none of us are perfect. Every single one of us are being sifted right now.
Wait a minute.
You're not perfect.
Wait a minute. What? Whoa.
Jesus.
Amen.
And you ain't him.
Amen.
Sometimes, Lord, Maranatha.
Praise the name of the Lord. Come quickly.
But he's sifting us. He's making sure that he's sifting out the bad impurities that doesn't belong. Listen, don't take that as I must be doing something wrong. I can't stress that enough because somebody here is allowing the enemy to tell them that that these things are coming upon you because of all the wrong you did in your life. When Jesus doesn't even remember them, they've been cast as far as the east is from the west. And there's not a remembrance in his mind sight, in his eyesight, of what it even was that you're even talking about. You're talking about something, and he's up there like, what?
Amen.
The father's saying, son?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what they're talking about? Because I don't know what they're talking about.
Because the Lord says, I will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. So sometimes we're asking God. You know, one time the Lord showed me David's story. And I said, God, how can David be a man after your own heart? And the Lord just showed me. And I had to read from left to right or from right to left. That's how the Hebrew reads. But anyhow, the Lord showed me David's story. And there wasn't a Bathsheba in the way he came about. There was certain sins that were just gone. And the Lord said, Philip, he said, remember, in the Bible, you have stories written in a way that's going to help redeem you. Mm-hmm. He said, but when I look, this is what I see. And he took away all the sins.
Amen.
And all I saw was David was a young boy that grew up, faced Goliath, blah, 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 blah. And it never showed anything of the negatives of David's life. And so here's what you got to understand. When you came into your salvation, the Lord has done the same for you. And sometimes we wonder why God can't hear us because we're praying to him on dead topics. We're wanting to go back into our past and we're wanting to talk about it and we're wanting him to give us a different answer. He can't even see your past because he's already wiped it away. You're the one that's got to walk in the revelation of it. You know, I met a couple a few months ago down south in the Louisville area. And they said, you know, we've been married 55 years. And they said one of the biggest things that we had to do was we stopped looking at our past. Because we're not going that direction. They said for us to make it 55 years, there was things that once we got through that day, we closed the door on them and we never looked back to them. And they said what we learned is that every time we looked back, we ran off the road. Every time we looked back, we hit each other and we just run into each other. They said we spiritually, we would just run in and triple each other instead of looking forward where God wants us to go.
Not every time that you're getting cleaned up does it look like you're getting cleaned up.
Amen.
Remember that when Amen. David came back from Ziklag and his army was coming after him and they were going to kill him because everybody had been taken, all their families, everything had been taken. What did he do? He went and got an ephod and went down on his knees.
Amen.
What did he do when the baby died? He covered himself before the baby died when the baby was sick. He went and covered himself in ashes. That's not clean. What are you talking about? That's not clean. Everything isn't going to look like the way you think it should look like every
mourning.
Time that you go through something.
It was mourning and fasting.
Amen? We have this fast food mentality in society in our lives because everything will be handed to us in 5 seconds or less if we just go through something that we want fast. But the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. And we find ourselves growing weary and well-doing because we want this over, and we want it over now. And we think that we have the right to tell God when and how and what and where he's going to do something.
Amen. And we don't, because here's the thing. God is going to clean up people separately as the Spirit wills, because he knows what, not that Candace has anything she needs cleaned up. But he knows what Candace needs cleaned up from today as opposed to what David needs
right.
And as opposed to what Jeannie might need and opposed to what Philip might need. Woo! And Philip, I'm hearing from Sister Haley, brother. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing.
But listen,
but the Lord is
going to
clean us up separately. You might look at your brother or sister and say, well, they got this issue.
Yes.
Stop. Let the Lord handle their issues.
So I can't
and then,
out.
Right,
I can't tell the Lord what to clean up in you.
Right, first. That's
I
right.
can't tell the Lord what I think you need cleaned up in you. Mm-hmm. Now, he's perfect. My goodness, the child.
Amen. Mr. Adidas, yeah.
Seriously, Lord, clean
got
this
Adidas
up in him.
And Nike.
That ain't your job.
Amen.
Your job ain't to clean him up. Your job ain't to fix anybody. You can't even fix yourself.
How are you
fixing anybody else? People think that it's our job to fix people. No, it's not. Our job is to read you that word.
Preach
to
that
get
word
that word into
that word.
You and to teach you what that word says so that you will get into that word so that God can fix you.
Amen.
I couldn't
Amen.
Fix myself.
Amen.
God fixed me.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's still a Amen. Work in progress in case you haven't noticed.
We won't mention who was in agreement with that, but someone was shaking
my
their
child,
head
I know who was in agreement with that.
I don't want to tell on you.
My husband was in agreement with it, and I'm in agreement
Ooh,
with it.
Shabroto.
Listen, I haven't arrived to where I'm going, but
and
I'm getting there.
I certainly haven't either.
I'm getting
Amen.
There. I might be going 20 miles an hour, and Phil might be going 50 miles an hour, but I'm going.
Amen. Amen.
And the more I read, and the more I get before him, guess what? My speed starts to speed up.
Amen.
And the faster I go, the quicker I'm getting to him. And you don't understand, as you're running towards him, as you're going towards him, he's coming towards you.
Amen, amen, amen.
And there's a collision amen. Course in every single amen. One of your life that amen. If you just stay the course and you just stay on the path that you're on with him,
amen.
That's going to happen, and this is going to lift off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, God, what was I so worried about? Listen, your moment is not your life.
Amen, amen.
This is your moment.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Victory is ours.
Amen.
Victory is ours.
Amen. 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 Now, I'm going to lay something else in you because it's going to strengthen you. Now, listen, you are a spirit. Now, you have an eternal destiny. And in that eternal destiny, we've got to make sure that we know that we have the right to possess this vessel. What that means is that once Jesus Christ is in us, if we will let the scriptures grow us, if we will let ourselves be transformed, first of all, I want to remind you of what Romans chapter 12 says. And you all own this. Say, I own this. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you. In other words, I urge you and I make you aware, brethren. Therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, you have the power to possess your vessel. I love you guys, but I want you to quit acting like whether it be drugs, whether it be anger, whether it be anything of that nature, any nature that's upon us that we've struggled with, if we will allow God, we have the right to get set free from. It says, present your bodies. Does he say, I have to do it? No, he says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your most difficult, hard, unbearable, you can't get it done, you have no chance. No, it says that this is your reasonable service. Do you understand that it's a mere reasonable, it's a first part of what you do to get the fruits of the Spirit, to let the Spirit of the Lord move upon you? This is just your reasonable service. There's so much more beyond that you can do if you would allow God to grow you into the strength and the being of what he has for you. And one of the things that we are going to have to do, people, is we're going to have to leave room for the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to leave room for the power of God. We're going to have to leave room for what God can do and get away from what we think we can do. Because he says that this is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you can have your mind renewed is to be in the Word, be in prayer, and be in worship. And I will tell you that as you are in the Word of God, what this means is that the Word of God will begin to make you free, because your mind being renewed will cause you to be transformed into thinking like, acting like, and speaking like God. And when you start speaking life like God, you will have things happen like God. Now, I want to go to a scripture that we all know and love, and I want you to really get this in your heart, because in the book of James, this is a scripture that we've quoted and we've talked about, but I really want to grab a hold of it for you, because in James chapter 17, it says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Now listen to this. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. Now, it is God's will that we are begotten of him, by him, through Jesus Christ. Another scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that it is the will of God for every man, every part of mankind, every human being on the face of this earth to be saved. And what I want you to know is that if the Lord's will is for that to happen, then the potential that is in the blood is unlimited to help it come to pass. And this is what I really want to get into tonight, because I really want to put this in your spirit, and I hope you guys study this, because it says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, or of his creation, or what it's like for humanity to return to being fully man and fully God like they were first designed. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superlative of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I want to take us being quick to hear and slow to speak to a whole new level. Because in the natural, we have tried to understand, well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and not say what I want to say. In the natural, we have used this in its very basic format. But this is what you need to do as Christians. You need to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I only hear and I only do what I hear and see my Father do. The reason Jesus was quick to hear, because he was quick to hear God's way. He was quick to allow the Holy Ghost to let him hear what Scripture said. And he was slow to speak because guess what? He would not speak a word that the Holy Ghost didn't give him. See, in our natural sense, we've always thought, well, I need to be, you know, quick to hear, but slow to speak. No, 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 this is not natural. You need to first be quick to hear what the Holy Ghost is discerning in you, what the Holy Ghost is telling you. Because let me tell you something. Oftentimes when people speak to you, Brother David, they're going to say one thing and try to lead you a direction that ain't even close to the truth. And here's what else I want you to know. When you're a person that reacts so much to what you naturally see with your eyes, if all you do is react to what you see and what you hear in your natural ability, then you are going to be deceived. The devil's going to appear as an angel of light, and he's going to take you on a path of confusion, because most Christians, even us stronger Christians sometimes, we're not really spending enough time to hear God on anything. First of all, we're so busy, our mind's so busy, we're only going to God when we're really at pressure. And by then, we can't hear him anyway. Listen, I hate to tell you, but sometimes the people closest to you are the people that are going to see you less and know you less than who you really are. Because sometimes we get so familiar. Matthew chapter 10, 36, turn to it, please. Put it up there. Matthew 10, 36, put it up there, please. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now listen to me. I want you to understand something, that we don't need to be enemies within our church, within our family, and within this household. And what that means is that we must write a vision and make it plain. And then we must all join in the safe process of that vision. See, because here's what I want you to know. Sometimes we can get so familiar with the people closest to us that we lose the respect and reverence of who they really are. We don't ever want to do that. We don't want to lose the respect and reverence of our spouse or of our children or of the people that are a part of our church. In fact, our reverence for each other should grow. Shouldn't wax old, shouldn't wax cold. It should grow, grow, and grow. But here's what I want to concentrate on tonight. Are we really quick to hear? When someone says something that's against us, like say you're working at a job and your boss says, well, you do a good job here, but I don't know if you want to sign up for that job because I don't know if you can do it. Are you quick to hear God say, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world? Or are you quick to hear the intimidation of that boss that makes you think, oh man, maybe I can't? When someone says, oh, you're not qualified to do that, are you quick to hear, wait a minute, you didn't speak that to me, God did. So I love you, but right now, my friend down the street that looks over at my unmowed yard and thinks I'm not very spiritual, you didn't put that in me, so you can't be the denier or the developer of it. And let's make sure that what we hear from anybody, even ourselves, we better be able to find scripture to back it up. We better be able to come and say, hey, I heard, and listen, I love your dreams, and I love your tenaciousness to say I had a dream, but the first thing I want to do is hear that dream related to a doctrinal scripture that's going to keep you balanced and keep you on track. And I tell you what, whether you like it or not, we have got to be quick to hear through the discerning of the Holy Ghost, through the nine gifts of the Spirit, to the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. We need to be able to hear at home. We need to be able to hear in the church. You need to be able to hear in your workday. You need to be able to hear in the car. You need to be able to hear when you don't even think you're supposed to hear something. Recently, I was taking a trip, about a 2 or 3 hour trip, and me and a friend was in the car, and we were headed to Troy, Ohio, but we were on highway I-75 getting down, and we could have got to I-75 faster, and all of a sudden, the Lord said, go down this road, 25A. And I said, hey, man, we got to go down 25A. I said, I'm not sure why, but I know I got to go that way. I went that way on our route, and guess what? Ran right into a pastor friend that I've known for 30 years, and he said, man, I've been thinking about you and wanting to get a hold of you because there's a man we know that's in trouble. And I tell you what, I got to ask you, are you ever quick enough to hear God make an adjustment in your day? Or once your day is set, is it so set in stone that you don't give any room for God? You got to get up at this time. You got to do this at this time. You got to go to the store. You got to do this. You got to take care of your kids. You got to get them on the bus. You got to do this. 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 Listen, it's good to have patterns. It's good to have disciplines. It's good to have those things. But do you leave room to be quick to hear God tell you to make a little bit of an adjustment? I remember one time my wife, she's very determined and very set on what she does. And one time she was going into a gas station and she was already working at the bank and she already had hundreds of things to do. And that day she pulled up to a gas station, and right while she was going in to get her car in there to get gas, a car pulled up. And she was happy about it. It was not even an issue for her. But anyhow, she had this car pulled up in front of her. Do you remember? You were leaving Van Wert, a car pulled up in front of you, and at first you were a little bit aggravated, but then God said, buy their gas. And it was some younger people. Remember when you worked at the bank? And the Lord said, buy their gas. And here this group of people that pulled into her space at the gas pump was actually an assignment from the Lord. And they said, hey, thank you, thank you. And they were very grateful after it happened, right? Yeah, actually, we ended up knowing them and they knew us, and somehow it worked out. And it was a sign to them. And it was a blessing to them. I'm just telling you that sometimes at the very things that we think are inconveniences, if we would be quick to hear and slow to speak, we might find the God assignment. Now, here's what I'm telling you. Each one of you have the capacity to live for God at a brand new level, in a brand new way. And I'm just here to tell you that as we move forward, we're going to want to be renewing and not spewing. And what that means is that not only are we going to have to read the scriptures, but we're going to have to confess the scriptures. The Lord has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm not the tail. According to the word of God, I'm the head and not the tail. One scripture, if you're bold enough, says that you won't borrow, but you'll lend to nations. Woo, my goodness. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that the body of Christ one day will have the spirit of Joseph on it, so much so that the world will come back to the body of Christ and say, look, you are here and we need you to be the support. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your blessing upon your people, Father. Lord, for next time, I want them to read Numbers 13 and 14. And especially the end of 13 and 14. somewhere in the 28th verse, Father. The end of chapter 13, it says that we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Therefore, our enemy saw us as grasshoppers. Never says that we were grasshoppers. We just chose to be grasshoppers in our own eyes. Therefore, our enemies had an authority over us because of our own wrong view of ourselves. Listen to me, people. You have to get to where you get beyond yourself and you believe what the Lord is saying about you. Amen? And you find scripture that identifies you. Shannon, come here, please. Honey, come here, please. Come up here. Stand right. Now, Pastor Regina's going to lay her hands on you, and so am I. And God is just going to infuse you with the new boldness of the Holy Ghost. Listen, there was a time in the book of Acts.